Okie dokie, folks, welcome back to Monday Night Shaw right here on the Backbreaker Media Network. My name is Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. the Canadian Goose, and on the show today is the one and only Steven Styles, Squig. Squig, you've been on the show twice before. This is your third time round. Third time's a charm, that's what they say, eh?
Yeah, I'm excited to be back again there, Goose.
How's it going, bud?
It's going good. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I guess we should get right into it just because we're on the time frame here. COVID-19 happened this year.
Yeah, it's been a very terrible year all around. Plus last year, I'm not going to lie. 2020 was a very big year for us. You know, we were the only promotion in Alberta outside of PPW down in Lethbridge, that actually ran. But we were the only promotion in the last 20 years that actually went weekly, and we did it through a pandemic. We kept the crowds up. We kept the fans entertained. And, we would still be going weekly if it wasn't for, COVID getting worse and us being in our third wave right now.
Yeah, 100%. I know that, the last couple of times you've been on, just in case anyone's listening and isn't aware, Squig here is the promoter for Real Canadian Wrestling, the place where I wrestle, and so he's the big man in charge. And we've talked before about how stressful promoting can be, and I have to assume that was taken just to the umpth degree with the whole COVID thing going on.
Oh, it was beyond put it this way, running weekly was so stressful and hard to get going because, with COVID, we had to make sure we had the forms for everybody to sign, the waivers, someone taking temperatures of not just the performers, but every fan that came in. We had to collect data from every fan that came in. We had to make sure things were sanitized and clean, working hand in hand with the venues, making sure, the venues did their part so we could do our shows. I made it through the 6 months of weekly shows, and it was, if it wasn't for my fiance Michelle, yourself and the rest of the crew, really pulled together as a team and made it a family thing. And, I don't think I would be able to do it every week, but we did it, we survived, and hopefully we can get back to it very soon.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, I know that for me personally, it was a saving grace for sure that we were able to still do it because on the few times when it was in complete lockdown and there was no wrestling, just sitting around the house doing nothing can be really, really grating on your whole psyche. You know what I mean?
Honestly, you're not the first one to say that. I've spoke, with many of the workers, the fans. I still have fans messaging me on a daily basis asking, when will we be back? When can we do shows again? Our weekly events were probably what saved many people's lives and sanity because it gave them that once a week chance to get out, just forget what's going on around them, what's going on in the world, and just come for 2 hours, 3 hours and have a good time and just enjoy themselves. So I've been thanked by a lot of fans and the boys, for putting everything on the line to make sure we kept everybody sane and going. So, but again, like I said, I wouldn't be able to do that without the support I had around from the boys, my family, the fans who kept coming out. So again, weekly events were good. There were good times, there were bad times, but in my opinion, I had to keep it going because the fans supported me for 18 years with RCW. So I wasn't going to give up on them when they needed something to keep their minds off of what's going on.
100%, bud. I think that the last time we actually podcasted together was right before the Can-Am charity show that we did for Ret Hart and his... we were trying to raise money so that we could get a van for Ret Hart, who's Bruce Hart's son in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And since then, it's been announced online that Can-Am Wrestling is actually going to be making a return, and RCW is going to be involved with them. Is there? Can you give us any more details about the whole Can-Am Wrestling thing and the emergence of the Alberta Wrestling Alliance and or Alberta Wrestling Academy? Sorry, and just give us some of your thoughts on the matter.
Well, like the way I look at it is, like, you know, I'm good friends with Otto. You know, he runs. He's the one that's he first started Can-Am Wrestling 25 years ago with Steve Wild and the late Steve Gillespie. And Otto came to me, he talked to me, and he said he wanted to re-release all the old Can-Am footage and do a weekly online show called Can-Am Wrestling, you know, showcasing the students as they develop, you know, having some of the RCW stars on there. And, you know, from what he told me is Can-Am's just going to be an online show company. You know, they're going to handle the online, we're going to handle the live events and work together. So I hope that's what it is, and I look forward to seeing what comes out of it. You know, I've been to the school many times. They've got a good setup there. You know, they've got good trainers there, such as Steve Wild, Bruce Hart's there, Tori Hart, Bryce the Slammer Sova, the Thickness Reed Matthews is one of the trainers there now. So,
oh, I didn't know that. Right on.
You know, in Calgary, it's a good place, you know, people get their break. But I also, you know, I also want to, you know, plug, you know, I think they're called Workforce Performance Center now, which it's been run by Raj Singh and Mo Jabari. So Calgary has two good schools. But again, back to Can-Am, you know, Otto's been a friend of mine for almost 25 years now, to be honest. And, you know, he's one of the good brothers. And, you know, I look for good things to come out of what's going on with him and his partner, Ed Anderson. You know, and so, yeah, Can-Am, they want to come back doing online stuff. I endorse that, you know, and hopefully it takes off for them. And once we all get back to business, Can-Am and RCW can work together and present a lot of exciting, new, and amazing things for the Alberta wrestling scene.
Solid. And I think while we are talking about wrestling schools, we should also mention the Top Talent Wrestling Academy in Edmonton. That's where I train, and Heavy Metal runs the place, so that's where he trains too.
Honestly, Heavy Metal and MRB, they, you know, they're the two head trainers at the Top Talent Academy. Metal's one of my close friends. I can't say more than many good things for him. He's, you know, he's one of my closest friends. MRB, a great talent, so. Right now, I think the Top Talent Wrestling Academy is probably the premier training academy in Western Canada right now for, like, production value, experience, and all that. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see what comes out of Top Talent Academy as well when things open up again here. And I know Heavy Metal, he lives and breathes his business. You know, he's got that school running on all cylinders. Great things coming out of there, and, you know, I recommend anybody that wants to try their luck professional wrestling, give Heavy Metal a call or give Otto a call, and, you know, start your path to wrestling today. You know, don't wait.
Yeah, 100%. I've definitely I've been learning some very, very cool things down there. You know, when it's open and not closed because of the COVID thing, but I've definitely learned a lot of, like, really cool things, and can't wait to show them off in matches and whatnot. And a lot of it is all thanks to Heavy Metal and to MRB. You released a poster for a show at the end of May that's going to take place in Radway, the Clash of the Titans, and MRB's on the poster. Is he going to be wrestling with us at that show in May?
I'm going to give you a breaking news update that you're the first one that people are going to hear is on your podcast. I'm excited that we confirmed the main event for that show will be Michael Richard Blaze for the first time ever facing Heavy Metal one-on-one.
Oh, solid. Yeah. That'll be a banger for sure.
Yeah. So the main event for that show will be Heavy Metal versus MRB. So I hope the COVID restrictions are lifted enough where we can present the show. Again, I'm not like other promoters. I'm not in this to make the millions of dollars. I'm here to entertain the fans. So if we can have a capacity of 50 people 100 people. Either way, as long as we're allowed, that show will run, and we will present a show. And if we can only have 50 people, we'll sell those 50 tickets, and then we will stream the show online to the people who couldn't get tickets. So either way, we are hoping that show does happen, and as soon as AHS gives us the green light, that we will make that event happen, and that main event for the Alberta wrestling fans.
Solid. Does the show being in Radway, does that help the chances? Because Radway is such a small community that perhaps will be a little bit more lenient on us?
It's hard to say. Like, we're hoping, you know, Neil and Radway with the Ag Society, he's working hand in hand with AHS. And we made the decision, you know, if we can't have it indoors, we're going to move it outdoors to the baseball field. And you were at the last show we had out there outside, and it's a huge baseball field. So if we have to have 100 people outside, then we'll move it outside.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that show for sure, just because it was like an outdoor baseball field show. I really like that sometimes we have these weird, like, strange venues. Like, do you remember when we did the show in Oyen at the barn?
Yeah, the horse training facility.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I talked about it with Sweet Daddy Soul on the last episode there, and yeah. Like, we showed up and there was a dirt floor, and then I think during one of the matches, like, somebody used a tractor on, like, heavy metal used a tractor on his opponent and stuff. Like, it was a really great show. And then we, of course, did the tattoo parlor opening show, which was a unique venue. And me and you wrestled on that one.
Yeah.
And that was fun, too.
That was the debut of heel Canadian Goose.
Yeah. And also, you ripped my mask off right in the middle of the match. So from that point on, I was kind of like, oh, well, if I don't have to wear this mask, maybe I won't. Because wrestling in a mask is cumbersome. Have you ever wrestled in a mask, Squig?
Yes, actually. I've done masks a couple times. I've been up in BC for... I think it was Thompson Valley Wrestling. I wrestled as Michael Myers. Actually, when I early days RCW, when Tex Gaines was booking for us, he had me do a gimmick called the Gimp, which, you know, which I wrestled barricade as the Gimp. And I'm trying to find that footage, actually. That was one of the most funnest nights for wrestling, you know. So, yeah, I've wrestled in a mask a couple times, and it sucks to try and breathe if the mask don't fit properly. So I give you a lot of credit when you did wear that mask.
Yeah, that mask, it was very much just like something that my mom bought for me when she went to Mexico one time way back in the day. Like, I actually came across some, like, really old videos from, like, 2002 of me and some buddies, like, doing backyard wrestling. And in some of the videos, I was wearing that mask.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Was that for BEW or?
No, it was, it was just, you know, I don't get me wrong. I don't condone, like, I'm not sitting here going, oh, yeah, do backyard wrestling. But, you know, boys will be boys when we're real young like that. And so I'd always have, like, my buddies over, and we'd watch, like, TNA or whatever. And then afterwards we'd go out in the yard and wrestle on a bed mattress or whatnot just for fun. But, yeah, I was like, oh, that's the exact same mask that I actually wore when I started wrestling for real. I couldn't believe it. But you did bring up BEW, so I guess we should talk a little bit about them. It's like they seem to be a partner of ours for a while there, and then eventually, like, they kind of just decided to run on the same night as us. Is so the BEW partnership is kind of over now, eh?
I honestly, Goose, I don't know what happened there. I thought I was good with the promoter, Claude, and then one day he messaged me, started ranting and raving, and then next thing you know, he's doing his own thing, and he's bringing in different people and all that. So I just said, okay, well, all the best to you. Good luck. And that's it. Like, guys want to work for them, go work for them. You know, it's your decision. But honestly, like, you know firsthand, I'm one of the busiest promoters out there, you know. So if I can run, I'm running every Friday and Saturday unless I'm in the hospital or I can't make it. So it's really hard when he's using 80% of our guys, but I see he's reached out and got the MPW roster, which, again, all great career guys, you know. So good luck to him, you know. And again, I choose my words very wisely because, you know, I don't really want to get you in heat per se, but, you know, like I say, it's be very leery of what you get into before you step forward. I've had the honor and, well, the dishonor of working with Claude personal level and backstage. So again, all the best to whoever does work for him. And to Claude, you know, I hope you're ready because Alberta's a very big market and a very busy market with so many promotions already here. So
yeah, I mean, I know that like the last the one show that they did do, the one we were both on, definitely not our finest hour, but it seemed to me a lot like, at least from my perspective, you were kind of the one running the show. Like, I don't think I really even talked to Claude. Like, he, you know, I didn't discuss my pay with him. I didn't discuss the match with him. I didn't find, like, he didn't come to me and tell me what he wanted, like, booking-wise or anything. I just did what you told me to do. And kind of, I just assumed it was like, okay, this guy is sort of, like, put up the money to run this show. But, like, as far as I was concerned, you were still in charge.
And that's how it was. Like, he put up the money and he hired me as his booker. You know, he told me what he wanted. I booked what he wanted. He didn't like it. So, like, at the end of the day, you know, I don't know what to really say. You know, Claude's one of those guys that he has money, so he thinks he's bigger than the business type thing, you know. You know, he went out, got all these custom belts and everything. You know, he used to be partnered up with Logan Cross and Allied Wrestling in Regina, I mean Saskatoon, and they had a falling out. So he thought, oh, I'm going to buy a ring and start running my own shows. It's like I said, as soon as AHS or the Alberta government give us the go-ahead, you know, I'll run with a 50-person capacity just to get back out there and give the fans the wrestling they deserve and they want to see. Again, like, I've been promoting wrestling now. It'll be 18 years this May, and I have a different mindset. I want to entertain the fans, because like the way I look at it is, if you have 5 fans, 20 fans, 50 fans, 500 fans, 5,000 fans, it doesn't matter. Every one of those fans there, they paid their $20-$25 to see the show, and those are the fans that love the business and love wrestling as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like I said, as soon as AHS gives me the go ahead, I will be running. You know, I have a great crew of guys. You know, yourself, Heavy Metal, you know, Nasty Nate Nixon, KB6, Sean Martins, Vince Austin, the Lit, and many more. You know, and they're all a big team. You know, they all said, you know, whatever it takes to get going again, we'll get going and we'll rebuild this. You know, so as soon as AHS says, yeah, go ahead, we're gonna be going ahead.
100%. I know that the Clandestine Society has recently started up again, and they have filmed a bunch of matches and whatnot over at the Top Talent Wrestling Academy. Is there any plans for RCW to just do some like filming and stuff before we maybe are allowed to have fans back in the building?
Well, that's the thing. Right now, you know, you can't really do much filming, you know. So, but I have been working with Dave Mercer, you know, and we have a whole bunch of footage in the can. So, you know, we are working on putting out some new footage, some new entertainment for the fans, just to keep their appetite wet and ready to, you know, ready for when we are coming back. You know, again, yeah, you saw the Clandestine, which, again, not to go off topic, but MRB and Clandestine is an amazing thing. They do great work. You know, their first episode blew me away. So I look forward to more from them. But again, back to us, you know, we've got so much stuff that we recorded that we never released.
Yeah.
So again, all the wrestling fans, stay tuned to the YouTube, stay tuned to Facebook. We'll be announcing soon. We'll be releasing some new stuff right away. And hopefully that keeps the fans excited and interested in RCW. So when we do get the green light to go ahead, that they come out and they support the product like they did before.
100%. And I mean, like, have you considered perhaps maybe even once we do have crowds and stuff, maybe if there's 50 or 100 people there, maybe just filming the shows anyways? Like, I know that the shows are generally filmed with at least one camera so that the wrestlers are able to go back and review their footage and learn from their matches and stuff. But has there been any talk about maybe, putting a little bit more effort, maybe adding a second camera, editing, adding commentary and stuff, just so that maybe the people who don't exactly feel comfortable coming and being in a crowd right now can still enjoy the product from home?
Oh, yeah, no, like, we are, like... Dave Mercer is an artist. He does great work, so, you know, and he's been with RSW since day one. So I have talked to him, and he's working on a whole bunch of different things to come down the pipe for RSW. So again, like, once shows start, we always film them, but, you know, this downtime, we've actually, you know, taken time. We invested in a new canvas, new apron, lighting, and new entranceway, everything. So when awesome. We are back, it's going to be a completely whole relaunch for us. So again, like, we have talked about it. It just, we want to follow everything by the book.
Yeah, of course. I mean, just for everyone's, like, safety and whatnot, of, you know, for yeah. Sure. I was just gonna say, because, you know, like, there might be some fans that are just more concerned about their safety and stuff, that it might be a good idea. Like, even because, like, I mean, like, we're, like I say, we're already pretty much have always been filming the shows anyway, but it's just usually like a one camera situation. I know that for a little while we had Andre Corbeil down in Calgary, and he was shooting our matches and doing commentary sort of in his own you know, he was making the best of his situation, but he ended up, there was something going on with him or whatnot that we weren't able to continue using him.
Andre Corbeil, great guy, love him to death, but he likes to put his foot in his mouth. So he got himself some trouble with the venue, and he was actually unfortunately banned from the Downtown Legion in Calgary. So.
Oh, really? Oh. Okay. I mean, I had heard, you know, like, I also, like, I've never had, like, a personal issue with Andre Corbeil. Like, by all means, folks, like, you know, if you want to go watch RCW matches, some of them are up on his YouTube, but some of them aren't, because Andre seems like a pretty opinionated guy. He has some political opinions that, you know, maybe can be controversial, and I know his YouTube got taken down there for a little while, which probably also plays into why he got banned from the Legion, to be honest with you. It was nice to have, you know, commentated matches, and, like, they'd be up, like, real, like, fast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, like, he does great work. Like, I'm not shitting on him and all that, but again, like, he's very, best way to put it, he's very controversial, you know, he has a very controversial mind. He's actually, I'd like to affirm as Mini Mercury.
Oh, God.
I don't think he has as much heat as Mercury does, but...
This whole title of this podcast should be like, I don't want to get heat, but...
Well, again, like, you know me, Kyle. I have no filters, so I personally don't want to see you get in trouble with the people that Backbreaker Media, but
yeah.
Again, I honestly, I don't care what I say. You know, it's professional wrestling is, you know, a very fickle business. You know, you got to be thick-skinned. You know, every day I have someone tell me, oh, you know, you're a piece of garbage, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm still here. They're still here. I'm still promoting, and I'm still running shows.
Yeah. I mean, anyone that's going to go around telling people that they're pieces of garbage is, like, who the fuck cares what they think, to be honest with you? Like, that's a pretty negative mindset to live in, you know?
And the way I look at it is, I look and I tell people, I said, love me or hate me, but you paid to see me. So at the end of the day, you know, that's really it.
Fair enough. I know that Mike from Backbreaker Media ended up putting out a list of the 100 most prolific wrestlers in Alberta, and your name was on the list, and you were actually, like, pretty high on the list. Like, I think you were listed, like, if I'm not mistaken, you were, like, higher than Jess and Metal and a bunch of people. So
I think I was, like, either 55 or 57. I can't remember. But, again, you know, that list was compiled of all the matches I've had. And, like I say, I'm not the best worker out there, and I never said I was the greatest worker out there. But I've had a lot of matches, a long career. I've gotten to travel. But, you know, again, you know, I'm no Heavy Metal. I'm no Big Jess. I'm no MRB, you know. I just go there, try my best and entertain, and I appreciate, you know, it was Vance Avada that made the list, if I'm correct, you know. I appreciate him including me on it. I appreciate Mike sharing the list, and yeah, it's an honor to be on that list of many great people, you know. Like, Cuban Assassin was number one, who, you know, he was like God. I think he's the godfather of Alberta wrestling. He's wrestled everywhere, been everywhere, and is one of the most recognized names in Alberta wrestling history.
Yeah, how many, do you know exactly how many matches you've actually been in, Squig? Like, do you keep like a scrapbook or a record or anything?
I've heard of all my matches, and I think I'm clear. I think I'm close to just over 900 now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like there was a time where, like, 5-6 years ago where I think I had one weekend off the entire calendar year.
And you probably worked both Saturdays and Fridays, eh?
There was times there on the week where I remember I did one thing with CWF, Ernie Todd, with Billy Day and Andrew Hawks. And I think we started on Monday. We ended on Thursday night, drove all night, stopped in Edmonton, showered, and drove on to Merritt, BC, and did 3 more shows and came back. And then we're back with RCW the following weekend, so... You know, last year I did a 12-day tour with Shadow Extreme's Northern Empire Wrestling. So it's
solid. How was that?
Amazing. I can't say a bad thing about Shadow Extreme. You know, great guy. He has a good crew up there. You know, it was actually funny. His father runs his ring crew, sang it up, tearing it down. So it was like spending a week with my dad. You know, dirty jokes and. Just pulling through all the towns and just keeps on trucking. So it was like being on our own shows. Just I didn't have to book them or promote them.
that's crazy because, like, I actually just set it up the other day. I'm going to be recording with Shadow Extreme on Monday, doing another Monday Night Shaw. He'll probably be the one that airs right after this one.
Awesome. Yeah, no, Shadow's a great guy. You know, he was actually supposed to come out for a couple shows last year when we were running, but... Unfortunately, you know, his schedule, you know, he's on the band up in his reserve, so he's very busy up there, you know. Plus, again, he's one of the nicest guys. You know, he's straight edge though, like, so that's the one thing, you know. And he doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. He's very, you know, straight laced. So he's very career oriented. You know, he's one of the guys. You know, if he's given the right opportunity, he's going to succeed. You know, on that tour, he had Super Crazy from ECW on there, and he had a match with Super Crazy that just blew me away. I couldn't believe, you know, he kept up Super Crazy, tore the house down. He worked Giant Orion, great match. Worked Matt Hart, great match. I worked him a couple nights. It was just, again, like, you're going to get a good interview out of Shadow, and I hope to see him come out this way in the very near future.
Awesome. Well, is there anything specific you think I should ask him about?
No, just ask him where he got his start, you know, talk, he'll tell you about his promotion, but working with the Native Youth, you know, he reminds me a lot of a young Red Thunder, to be honest with you. You know, he's very straight up there. He's for his people in his community. So yeah, that'll be a very good interview for you to have with him.
Solid, solid. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that for sure. How far north did those shows end up going?
Actually, we started in Cranberry Portage, Manitoba. And then we drove to Saskatchewan, back to Manitoba, back to Saskatchewan. And then we ended up on the last thing was, I think it was Pelican Narrows, which is like right before you hit the ice road. Like the last show was 3.5 hours from the last town. So it's 3.5 hours of driving on ice road to the last town. So.
Oh, geez. Have you ever done those tours with Tony Condello?
No, I've never got the opportunity to, but I've heard many great stories from like guys like Slammer and Matt Hart and kids. I mean, Dalton Rowe, KB6, you know, Divine, Rivers. The list goes on, you know. So that's a tour that, you know, that makes or breaks professional wrestlers. If you can survive that tour, then you're made for this business.
100%. I watched a documentary about it on YouTube recently.
Yeah,
and I thought it was fantastic. I like when I watched this documentary, I was like, okay, well, I think I'd like to do one of these tours because, like, yeah, the travel looks like it's just insane and like really, really like long hours and very stressful. But the shows looked like it was such fun. Like it was like 90% just kids and, you know, people coming out to watch wrestling and have a good time, and they haven't seen entertainment in a long time. So I imagine like performing in front of those crowds would be like a really, really good time.
Northern communities honestly are some of the best crowds because they don't get that kind of entertainment very often, you know, maybe once a year, you know. That's why Tony Condello has been so successful doing those tours up there, because, you know, you're going up to remote communities where you can only go drive in the winter, where if the lake's not frozen, you're not getting there because the only way in is flying or train. So that's, you know, like a person to talk to about that and could probably tell you so many amazing stories would be Bobby Sharp. You know, I think he's done like 10 tours now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. If you have a chance to ever sit down with Bobby, he's the guy to tell you so many great stories.
I would love to do a podcast with Bobby. I did one with Kat a while ago, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, I love Kat. Kat's a fantastic person.
I also did one with KB6, and he spent most of the podcast talking about one of his Northern Tour experiences.
Yes, the infamous Northern Tour that KB6 was on.
Why? Did you listen to the podcast? Pardon me?
That infamous tour led to an RCW full-time debut for KB6.
Yeah. It was quite the story. I honestly, like, there was actually a couple of points where I was listening to it and I was like, I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to put this out. But eventually, you know, I think we just settled on, well, you know, this is the way things went down from KB6's perspective. And, you know, I have no reason to doubt him or think that he was like lying about any of it. So I was like, he, you know, KB6 is my friend. So we're just going to put the podcast out as it is. And that's happened.
That's the one thing. Like, I've known KB6 now a couple of years, and he's one of the most realist guys you can get to know. You know, he's got a bright future, great heart, very funny, relaxed. But he's also very passionate about how he's treated, how the business is treated, and how others are treated. So, you know, and what happened to him on that tour was, in my opinion, was garbage, you know. And it was from someone who he looked up to, someone that he looked to as, like, a mentor, and I'm not going to name names because I don't need the threats or the drama or the chase downs or whatever. Mm-hmm. But again, it happened. It went down. It was shitty. It happened, but he came out stronger, better. And now, honestly, from what I see, he seems, his career has went leaps and strides since he broke away from that and came to us. You know, he had a great run as our Carmel champion, had probably one of my all time favorite matches against Sweet Daddy Soul. You know, he's had great matches with Heavy Metal, you know, Nate Nixon. So KB6, he had to suffer through a shit experience to get better, and nothing but up for that guy.
100%. He's like one of my favorite people in RCW, and I'm very glad he came over and joined up with us, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could say the same though for like a lot of like the MPW roster. Like, anytime we do like the out of town shows where we have them on, or like even when we did BEW and stuff, it's always nice to see those guys. Like, you know, the guys like Mitch and Rich King and Blake Cannon and T.Y. Jackson. Can you just give me like a short list of like three guys from MPW that if you had your way would be coming over and joining RCW?
Oh, Kyle, you put me on the spot there. There's, I have a lot of, well, I look at them as friends, but you know, a lot of, you know, people there. But like, honestly, the one person I've always been a huge fan of, and I think he's like untapped and so much potential to break out, is Mitch Clark. Every time I've talked to him, you know, he's respectful. You can tell he loves the business. He's a former UFC fighter again, you know, so he has the self-discipline and respect. But Mitch Clark, right up there. I would love to bring Rich King and Lumberjack Larry as a package, as a team. Those two together blow me away, you know. I think they're both, they're actually, honestly, in my opinion, they're like twins. I love them both equally and love to have them both in the locker room. T.Y. Jackson, like, amazing person, you know. Can't look forward to having him, you know, working spot shows, you know. Another one that I only met him at the last Radway show, but he blew me away, was M.K. Singh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's with some seasoning and the right people and working the right guys, he's got such a bright future ahead of him. Blake Cannon, another one. Blake Cannon reminds me of a young Kerry Brown, you know. He doesn't have that million-dollar body, but knows how to talk, knows how to act, has a presentation, you know. So, again, like, probably that's my core five guys, right? This core five, six guys I would love to see in RCW on a more regular basis, you know. But, again, that's not taking away nothing from the other guys. Like, the Dad Bod Squad, entertaining as ever, you know. One person I've always been a fan of and always thought she was amazing was Sexy Sam. And she came over to us last year during the pandemic. And, you know, I can't say a single bad thing about her. She's probably one of my favorite people outside the business as well as inside the business.
Yeah, no, she's awesome. I have really, I had her on the podcast pretty recently too. And I think that, her coming over was a really good thing for RCW in general, for sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just gonna put the same question out to you, except this time, let's do PWA. If you could bring three guys over from PWA, who would you want?
Oh, that's you're putting me on the spot. Again, like, there's so many great guys there, you know. MRB, he would be amazing addition. Brandon Van Danielson, again, like, I've been a huge fan of BVD from the first time I met him. Inside and outside the business, he's one of the best guys, you know. I call him Alberta's Stan Hansen, you know. Again, like, there's so many guys there. Aiden Adams, who did some Calgary shows for us.
Oh, he used to be on our roster.
Yeah, but like, again, like I said, it's, you know, he did his time with RCW. He went to PWA. He's had great success there in tag team and singles. Reed Matthews, another guy there. He doesn't get enough credit. You know, amazing worker, great personality, great mind for the business. So, you know, I'd love to see him more in RCW. And this is probably going to shock a lot of people, but I really love to see Jack Pride come back. I was a huge Pride fan.
100%. Yeah. Me too. I miss Jack Pride. He was a great wrestler and like really entertaining. Like, he wrapped his mind around like promos and stuff. I think that like one of the things like about like just wrestling in Alberta and stuff is there's only a few guys that are pretty on top of their promos. First and foremost, I would think the most like on top of it is Vince Austin. Like, he's doing a promo for almost everything you ask him to do. Like, he's got a promo before his match and one after his match, and then half the time he's going to cut a promo like during his match, you know what I mean?
I honestly, I don't want this to come across bad, but I personally call Vince Austin just to have him promo.
Bro, yeah, like, I'll there's not a lot of guys like in wrestling that I know who I will phone and just like talk to and bullshit with for a while just for the sake of it because they're my friends or whatever. But definitely Vince Austin is on that list, you know?
Yeah, like Vince, again, like a lot of people think, you know, I've heard people say Vince is past his prime or, you know, he's too out there. But as hard as it is to believe, I don't even think Vince has even hit his stride yet. You know, he's been wrestling 20 years now and everything. He's just a blood and guts guy, but you know, he's got one of the greatest mind. He has a great mind for the business.
Oh no, he's like a fantastic character. Like that's one of the things that I love about Vince is just like how like much of a character he is, you know? Like, there's a lot of guys, like, and I'm not saying this again, like, just for the title of the podcast, I'm not saying this to dog on anybody, but I know that there's a lot of wrestlers that just sort of come in and they're, you know, first name, last name, and their gimmick is they're a good wrestler. And with guys like Vince Austin, it's like, no, like, you're going to go home after this show and you might not remember that, you know, his name was Vince Austin, but you're going to remember that you saw a Viking guy, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Vince is one of a kind, to put it the best way, you know. I honestly, like, as much as I say, I've wrestled him numerous times, bled many times with him. I've rode many times in a car after a show, and I can honestly say, like, he always says, he's your best friend in the business. Honestly, Vince Austin is probably one of my closest, dearest personal friends, and he's a very, very different person to know. Some people find him very abrasive, and you know, or some people find him, you know, he's Uncle Vince. But to me, you know, he never stops. He never stops thinking about this business, and there's very few guys in this business that still do that. But Vince Austin is one of the guys that he wakes up in the morning and he's watching wrestling. He goes to bed. Last thing he does is he's watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. He goes to his place for a coffee. First thing he does, he turns on Japanese wrestling. Or he's showing you belts. Or he's showing you ideas. You know, and people don't give Vince Austin enough credit for that. Vince Austin literally is probably one of the most knowledgeable wrestling encyclopedias we have in Alberta. And I tell all the young guys, like yourself directly, you know, people are like, well, I can't really handle Vince at times riding with him.
I love riding with Vince.
But a three-hour car ride with Vince is like a six-hour wrestling seminar just talking.
Yeah, you know? I have never, like, had an issue. Like, Vince, he's got opinions that, you know, maybe I don't necessarily always agree with. But I've also, like, I've never seen him be disrespectful to anyone, you know, like even myself, which like, if like I was like the greenest of the green and he was still like super cool to me always. And like one of the first, matches I was ever in was against Vince.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing. It's like, Vince just wants to see everybody succeed and everybody be happy. But you got to remember, Vince ran his own company in Newfoundland for over 10 years and moved to Alberta. And like, there's times where I feel Vince is more passionate about RCW than I am. Like, and that's hard to believe. And this is my baby. This is my business. Mm-hmm. But there's times where like it seems like Vince is more passionate about the company than I am. He's always thinking about like, new ideas. Like he's always, if something doesn't go right and it's not even his fault, he doesn't even need to be involved. And Vince Austin's like, he takes it to heart like it's his fault it went wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no, like I say, I've ridden to a lot of shows with him, and he can be very opinionated at times. But like most of the time, when he explains his opinions to you, like especially when it's about like wrestling and not so much about like politics or whatever, it all makes a lot of sense. Everything all his wrestling opinions and whatnot, you know.
Yeah. But that's exactly it. Like, you know, like he, people don't, we need more of that in this business right now. We need more people who, they're not doing it to be asses, they're doing it because they love the business. Like, there's another guy in Alberta, you know, everybody says they, I'm not going to name his name because he'll probably call me and threaten to beat me up or something. Or, you know, or call the government on me or something. But I'm pretty sure you know who I'm talking about. But anyways, he's the complete polar opposite for what's good for this business. You know, like, Vince will help anybody. The other guy, he'll just screw with you. Just screw with you for the fun of it.
Yeah.
So those are the people we don't need in this business. We need people in this business that love this business. Vince Austin is one of those guys that he will die for this business just to make sure it succeeds.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of respect for Vince Austin, for sure, inside and, like, outside the ring.
Yeah, so it's, again, like I say, there's Vince Austin's one of the very few people I literally, you know, believe that would literally die in the ring. If he was told to die in the ring to make this business better, he would do it. You know, and
I think he would suggest it. I think he'd be like, you know, it get real over tonight, Squig, if you shoot me with a gun. You know, like,
I've heard that, like, and I've had that where, like, we were going over a match and he looks me dead in the eyes like, Squig, I really think it's best if I stab you with a fork tonight and you throw me through a plate glass window. Gord, there's kids. Oh, the kids, well, the kids.
They'll never forget it.
Oh, so it's like, again, Vince is, I could talk for hours about Vince, and it'd all be good things about him.
Yeah, 100%. Another guy that does a lot of blood and guts and that kind of stuff who has come into RCW once in a blue moon is Jason the Terrible.
Oh, That's Grandpa Carl, man. He's the most craziest mofo out there, but he's also one of the most nicest, loving guys in the world. You know, I've known Carl since I was a kid going to Rocky Mountain Wrestling in Calgary. I remember him doing a match in Calgary, covered in blood, coming back after, and I wanted his bandana from the back of the nightclub, and it was covered in blood, and he's like, kid, here's the bandana. And, you know, I still have that bandana in a box in my dad's basement. But I, you know, everybody had a bucket list. You know, I'm sure you have one, you know, guys who you'd love to wrestle in this business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and mine is different from many people. You know, I don't dream to ever have a match with CM Punk or Hulk Hogan or, you know, The Rock or John Cena, you know. My bucket list, like, guys like, you know, Steve Rivers, Jason the Terrible.
Have you not wrestled Steve Rivers?
No, I've never had a match with him. I've teamed with him.
Oh, geez. Well, I mean, as the promoter, I would think you'd have, like, every opportunity to make that happen.
You know what? I'm not like other promoters. I don't need to put the belt on myself. I don't need to book myself in hot angles. I don't need to be the main event. That's why I have a roster of great talent that I can be the main event, that they deserve the main event.
Yeah, you know, 100%. And Steve Rivers is fantastic. I remember that you put me in a match with him, and it was a lot of fun. I made some very, like, rookie mistakes during the match, and I'd really like to wrestle him again at some point, just because, like, I think I've kind of grown as a wrestler since then, and it would be a much better performance. But yeah, no, like, that's one of those people I'd really like to redeem myself against is him and probably Sydney Steele as well. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, those are matches that could happen. Again, like I said, my bucket list was, like, guys like Rivers, Steve Wilde, the late Steve Gillespie. But, like, right now, all that's left on my bucket list for guys that I've left I want to have a match with is Steve Rivers and Bruce Hart.
Oh, okay.
And, like, one of my biggest goals, one of my biggest things on my bucket list was to wrestle Jason the Terrible and to team with Jason the Terrible. And I got to do both of them. I've got to wrestle him, where we went out and beat the holy hell out of each other, where I've never bled so much in my life as I did in that match with him. And I also got,
I think I saw some of that on YouTube. It was like you and Cujo against him and Dr. Zhivago.
And Tyrone Ironside, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a, it was an honor to, and I, but I got to work Jason like numerous times as well, you know, but my biggest, like my one of the biggest career highlights was I actually got to win the RCW tag titles with Jason the Terrible.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and so like that was a great honor. But again, like I said, that's, everybody's a bucket list. That was my bucket list. So with Carl, you know, like 2 years ago, we had the whole issue, you know, where he came in, he worked Slammer, he got concussion, went crazy,
yeah,
scared everybody, bled everywhere. But at the end of the day, you know, as much as I hate, as much as people don't want to believe it, Carl's a worker. He puts on a show. He doesn't care if there's 5,000 people, you know. Sure, he was not loopy, but he was also old school selling. Because you got to remember, Jason comes from the generation where kayfabe was 100% real,
mm-hmm,
and fans still believed it was real.
Well, like, I mean, I wrestled on that same show, and I was like, oh, if he comes back to the ring during this battle royal, I'm just going to get the fuck out of here because I don't want to get beat up.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, that whole thing, and it was crazy. And then, like, I was kind of, like, shocked that you ended up having him come back. But I remember that once he did come back, yeah, like, and, you know, he was awesome. Like, even backstage, he was very, like, complimentary and happy to, like, talk completely rationally. So, like, I don't know if maybe getting knocked loopy there was the cause of all those issues, because, like I say, when you actually brought him back after that, which I was kind of surprised you did, but when you did, like, he was totally, like, fine and cool to be around.
Yeah. No, it's like, the problem is with when that happened, that was like when the whole Me Too, the whole snowflake. I used to call, there are a lot of people that were snowflakes, but a lot of fans, the fans still love them. When I bring in Jason, our houses always go up. Like, fans want to see Jason. You know, now it's kind of different because he's quit wearing the coveralls and the hockey mask, and now he's Carl Kirk Moffitt, but he's still Jason the Terrible. It's just like, well, you're Kyle Shaw during the day, but you're the Goose at night, but you're the same person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, great Muta. When Muta was Kiji Mutaro or whatever he's called, but his name was Great Muta with face paint on. He was the same wrestler.
Yeah.
It's just different persona.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
and Carl is Jason Terrible or Carl Kirk Moffitt or Grandpa Carl, whatever I want to call him. He's a great human being outside the ring, and he can still entertain. He can't. Him and Vince Austin had some of the most violent matches over the years in RCW, but he also came in and worked a match against Slave.
Yeah, that was good.
And Slave's one of the craziest people in the world, and they had a great match, you know. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, everybody has a bad day, everybody has accidents happen. Like, you know, take for instance Heavy Metal and Josh Alexander. That could have been the match of the year, yeah, in Alberta.
For sure. And
freak out that happened.
Yeah.
And it was out for 6 months to 6 months or longer. But he's getting a chance to, you know, to regain that when Josh Alexander comes back and we reopen again.
Yeah, I know that the original time for that show has actually been had to be postponed. Can you tell us when the new date is and when Josh Alexander is going to be returning to Alberta?
Yeah, the new date for that is Friday the 11th in Calgary, and I mean Friday, June 11th in Calgary, and Saturday, June 12th in Edmonton. That's the new date that we moved. So we just moved it a month ahead, moved it down a month. Josh Alexander has said he doesn't care if there's 10 fans, 50 fans, 500 fans. He wants to come back no matter what and have that match with Heavy Metal and give the fans the match they were supposed to get. So right now with the COVID restrictions, it got pushed to the Edmonton show is now June 12th. It's still going to be the 18th anniversary show. It's still going to have all the big matches planned, everything. We're just, like I said, that's when we moved it up to. People who already had bought advance tickets, when the date got changed, they were given a choice. They could get a refund on their tickets or they keep their tickets. And we're going to give them a special commemorative 18th anniversary T-shirt. So that was anybody that bought prior to the date change gets that gift as a thank you for, you know, supporting us and accepting the new dates, you know, but tickets are for the new date are already on sale. You can get them at eventbrite.com, or you can email rcwtickets at yahoo.com to get tickets. But the main event for Edmonton is still Josh Alexander going one-on-one with Heavy Metal.
Solid. I'm very much looking forward to that. It should be a good time. You mentioned the t-shirts, and we are almost approaching the hour here, so I think that's a good time to mention that you recently acquired like a t-shirt press, and you are making t-shirts. Where can people get a hold of you if they'd like a Real Canadian Wrestling t-shirt?
They can either contact me on Facebook after the RCW fan page, or me personally, Stephen Owaschuk. Or they can email the email at rcwmerchandise@yahoo.com. I'm always putting out new t-shirts, new designs. It doesn't just have to be RCW, you know, if fans have fan ideas, message me. You know, I can do anything really. Hats, t-shirts, mugs. You know, it's not just RCW.
Oh, I didn't know you could make mugs.
Yeah, I do everything right now, you know, and again, I'm very reasonable on price on that. So yeah, if fans want they want to design a special t-shirt, you know, like for instance, your super fan, Denise Carter. She got a Sam Bucker Goose shirt she custom ordered, you know, so.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I mean, for sure. I mean, I would have probably liked to get a little bit of cut if you're going to sell t-shirts with my likeness on them. But, you know, I'm happy that Denise got her shirt for sure.
You know, it's, you know, like that's the thing, you know, and, you know, we're going to do a contest pretty soon where you enter to win a date with the goose, I think. All these women chasing you.
We'll probably make about $4.
I don't know. And I think Denise Carter will probably buy all the tickets just to guarantee the win.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I mean,
but no, like I said, it was good talking with you, Kyle. And like I said, keep up the good work. You've really, you know, come into yourself in the last 2 years. You know, every time I see you, you're getting better and better. You know, you're listening, you're taking direction, you're listening to all the vets, you know, and I'm really impressed with you. I'm proud of you, how you've come along so far in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been fun. I mean, one thing I think we should probably touch on, just because I don't think I've talked about it, like, at all publicly, and it was kind of a big thing for me, was me and you actually wrestled in the first ever Baconator on a pole match in the history of professional wrestling.
Yeah, I was picking bacon out of my nose for about 3 days after that and mustard, but it was a fun match. Like, again, that was, you know, I know it wasn't a Matt Classic, it wasn't no Sean Kurt Angle, but
no,
I had fun. It was an honor working you, man. You came up with a really great idea. The fans ate it up. I had to eat a greasy burger, which almost killed me because, you know, I'm trying to stay away from that junk food now.
Yeah, but I'm right there with you.
You know, but it was a fun match. You know, I had a blast. So, yeah, you know, it was creative, and, you know, who knows, maybe one day we can do it again, but next time we'll have to do a carrot on a pole or something, or maybe just salad on a pole.
Something a little, like, healthier that's not going to just completely drain our entire allotment of daily calories.
Yeah, for sure. But like I said, you're doing amazing work. Your podcast it's one of my favorite ones to listen to. I listen to all of them, and keep up the good work, Kyle, because, you know, like, when you have doubt in yourself, you only have doubt, you know, you're the only one doubting you right now. Everybody's behind you, supporting you, you know, so keep up the good work, you know. And hopefully you're back to business soon so all those fans can start honking for you again.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's not many greater feelings than when you're out there in a packed house and everybody is just pumping their arms and chanting honk, honk, honk. It's a really great feeling. Anyway, yeah. Squig, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show again here.
Yep.
I appreciate having you on every once in a while just to give us like the old update on all the business and whatnot. Is there anything else before we go that I've missed touching on that you want to get out there into the universe before we cut it off here?
Like I said, just keep supporting all the Real Canadian Wrestling stuff. Stay tuned to our Facebook page, our Twitter, our Instagram, you know, myself, Dave Mercer. We're working on some fun things coming up, you know, some retro RCW matches. We're hoping to put out a new product soon. for the fans to keep them refreshed and ready for when we do come back. And, you know, if you want RCW merchandise, email rcwmerchandise@yahoo.com and just keep supporting independent wrestling as a whole. You know, Clandestine, they're doing great things, you know. So, again, just keep supporting. If you want to train to wrestle, check out Top Town Wrestling Academy or the AWA in Calgary. And, yeah, just stay safe. Wear a mask and have a good time.
Awesome, possum, buddy. Thank you very much.